Sida and Tonga. By Ofa Gutenbal Leaky Leaky. Director, Women and Children Crisis Center, WCCC, Tonga. Email, ofa.gutenbal@gmail.com. In 2015, a major breakthrough was on the verge of being realized. The government of Tonga stated at the 59th session of the Commission on the Status of Women, CSW, in New York that it was ready to commence the process of ratifying the UN Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, CEDAW. Point 1. That process has been put on hold, however. The ratification of CEDAW, after more than 20 years of lobbying and advocacy by women leaders and NGOs, was anticipated as the biggest step forward for the women's rights movement in Tonga. Indeed, it is a move forward for the larger women's rights movement in the Pacificus. Tonga, alongside Palau, are the only remaining two Pacific Island countries left to ratify the UN Convention. Moreover, 2015 was the 20th anniversary of the Beijing Platform for Action, which is globally dubbed as the historic roadmap that set the agenda for women's rights. Beijing was signed by 189 countries, Tonga included. Women's rights in Tonga have made some significant gains in the last two decades. Some of these gains included the amendment to the Nationality Act in 2007, where it enabled Tongan female citizens to register their child as a Tongan national, regardless of whether the father was a foreigner. Point 2. Another huge milestone was the enactment of the Family Protection Act, 2013, which aimed to provide greater protection from domestic violence. The act included three core measures that ensured that the rights of women were being enabled and protected. 1. Increased power for police to issue protection orders on the spot, for a maximum of 7 days. 2. A legal requirement to inform victims/survivors of their rights and what is involved in legal proceedings, and 3. The formation of a committee of key community stakeholders to discuss how to best monitor and evaluate the bill. The ratification of CEDAW, after more than 20 years of lobbying and advocacy by women leaders and NGOs, was anticipated as the biggest step forward for the women's rights movement in Tonga. Indeed, it is a move forward for the larger women's rights movement in the Pacificus. However, there are still many areas where women are still struggling to find their voice. One of this is the country's land laws, where women are still not able to own and register land. Despite attempts to recommend amendments to afford women more access and rights to land, this is an area where women continue to be economically deprived and disempowered. In the health sector, wives are still required to formally have their husband's approval, by way of signature on a form, before a tubal ligation can be undertaken. On the other hand, when a husband requests a vasectomy, the wife's authority is not sought. The rights of women to freely decide about their sexual and reproductive health and rights was being condemned as unchristian and un-Tongan. 30NE Tongan Reverend said, "Women need to know their place in the Bible, and when they understand that, they will come to know that they are not to decide freely, but with the consent of their husbands." Tonga is predominantly a Christian country, accounting for 95% of its population. Religious leadership for some churches only allow for women to be promoted to key ecumenical positions and leadership roles, and this includes both Tongan-grown churches and Western-born religions in Tonga. Despite these gaps, the Tongan government has started to report to the Universal Periodic Review process, and has, since its last two reports, made several commitments to ensure that it will take steps to ratify CEDAW, as well as many other international human rights covenants and conventions. Point 3. As such, its statement to the 59th CSW was welcomed as a huge step forward in terms of its commitment to realizing and prioritizing women's rights post-Beijing. It sent a loud and clear message to the women's rights movement on the ground that the government was prepared to start taking seriously the barriers and challenges that cause delayed progress for women economically, politically, socially, and culturally. Great expectations were on the horizon. What was unexpected was the backlash received from religious fundamentalists and extremists who quickly formed support groups via social media, mass media, and local on-the-ground rallying groups whose sole purpose was to speedily bring to an end to the government's efforts to proceed with ratification. This included fear-mongering among the general public using the two most controversial issues that got the nation standing on its toes, the legalization of abortion and same-sex marriage. Less than a day following the statement by the Tongan government at CSW, a wave of anti-CEDAW outbursts across the Tongan diaspora in Australia, New Zealand, and the United States swamped Tongan media with requests made to church leaders to respond without delay and to advise the Tongan government not to ratify the convention. Despite CEDAW having conditions within the ratification process that are designed to protect domestic considerations, religious fundamentalists moved quickly to develop in the minds of the general public that they were protecting the nation under the auspices of culture and religion. One reverend who was one of the main organizers of the anti-CEDAW protest march stated that if Tonga allowed this convention, it would take Tonga back to pre-Christianity. In the street protest facilitated by this fundamentalist group, placards carried by the marchers proclaimed that CEDAW is a secret agent of Satan, and CEDAW equals 666. Evil, and CEDAW go to hell. Churches that had representatives taking part in the anti-CEDAW protest march included the Catholic, Free Wesleyan, Tokaikolo churches, and several smaller, newly established evangelical churches. A prominent church leader stated that the nation's motto, God and Tonga are my inheritance, highlights the fact that God is first, and therefore everything has to go accordingly with God's plans and not what the United Nations wants. The protest march submitted a petition signed by 15,000 petitioners to the king as a formal request that he intervene and stop the government's plans to ratify CEDAW. Two church leaders ran regular radio and TV programs condemning the government's move to ratify CEDAW and used biblical texts to justify their position. They also made bold statements during these broadcasts towards pro-CEDAW supporters, and placed curses on the heads of women leading the pro-CEDAW campaign, as well as on the heads of their children, creating hate speech and anger towards pro-CEDAW supporters. Strong women's rights activists were being labeled as anti-Christ representatives. 31. The impact these had on the women's movement was felt beyond words. The psychological impact on key women's rights activists was overwhelming to the point that close family relationships were severed and friendships lost. Children of these activists also experienced the labeling from other children and teachers at schools they attended and had to be briefed on how to handle the backlash. In a small country with a population of approximately 100,000 people, there was an immense feeling of isolation which took a toll on a number of the activists. Nonetheless, the work had to continue and the focus now is on building a larger number of activists and lobbyists to continue to support the cause. With this type of backlash and restricted interpretation of the religious texts, it seems as if Tonga is now regressing 10 steps backwards from all the gains made thus far. The fight and struggle to have women seen as equal to men is still a far-reaching reality. The year 2015 has reflected just how much religious fundamentalists and restricted biblical text interpretations and dictated reflections still have a hold on the larger population in Tonga. There is still much work to be done.